The Views podcast starts right now.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliated organizations or entities. The content shared is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal, financial, medical, or any other form of professional advice.
Good morning, good evening, and good night, wherever you may be. Welcome to Z Views Podcast. I am here with my two lovely friends that I knew since birth.
Birth.
Yes. Introduce yourselves, please. You know, that'll be nice.
I'm Megan.
I'm RJ.
And my name is Ty Mitchell.
You finally said your name, bro. You'd always just skip it on your name every intro.
I do. We are coming from Naples, Florida. You know, the cool side of Florida, I guess. Right? And the reason we started this podcast is because... why do you think we started the podcast? Yeah.
Poverty.
We broke. Pali not hitting. None of that.
None of that.
Right? But before we get started, we have an amazing episode lineup for the people of the population, right? We have a wonderful financial advisor to help me and everyone else.
No, all of us. All of us. The people. You right there, all of us.
But mostly me. So before we get started, let's run a few ads.
This segment is brought to you by 124 Nut Out Cricket Academy, based in Georgia and Florida, USA.
That's a cool logo.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Curry.
Yes.
How's your week been? How's your week?
It's been pretty long.
Damn. Anyway, what's today's topic? What are we talking about?
Today's topic is, what should an investment portfolio for Gen Z look like?
Do you have anything? Any advice before you get started?
Advice? Aren't you the business guy?
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
You come looking at me like, yeah. I do marketing, bro.
I'm in psychology.
Let's wait on our special guest to give us advice. How about that?
Okay.
I think that's fair enough.
That's anyway, logical.
It is pretty logical. What's the first question, Megan?
First question is, what does investing mean to Gen Z? Is it about building wealth, freedom, or security in a chaotic economy?
Stonk. So what does investing mean to me? It means putting your money in a portfolio so my money could grow. That's what investing is, right? Pretty much.
It's building wealth for you.
Exactly. Have my money work for me, you know?
Makes sense.
So right now you have to work for your money, but when you're old enough, have your money work for you.
That's nice.
All right, Miss Psychology, what do you think? What about you?
I think security, maybe, because it's nice to have that extra money and know that what you're working and what you have isn't all of your money. You have backup. You're able to, you're still able to trust yourself with your own money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pop off, I guess. What about you, RJ?
I think investing for Gen Z is just being like, oh, I could just... Let me put some money on the stock right here. You know what I mean? Most people probably don't know how to choose the right stock. They're like, they open up Robin Hood. They're like, oh yeah, I'm about to be Bezos. And they put in $500 in the random stock. And either they take it out immediately or they forget about it. I think that's what's going on in Gen Z's mind.
I mean, some stocks you have to forget about it until the line.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? But yeah. Anywho, have you all invested your money? That's a good question.
I have.
Nah, that sounds like a no. Megan definitely. I know Megan doesn't do that. Yeah, I can just tell.
I've slowly Daddy. Started to do it. Slowly started to do it with Robinhood again.
Okay. Yeah. So, see, I have a very diverse portfolio.
Oh my goodness! Give us some tips. Some tips.
I ain't giving you no tips.
What do you mean? You can't gatekeep that. This is a podcast about investment portfolio for Gen Z, and you want to gatekeep?
I am not telling you what's in it. Tell you how to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was asking, bro. You just trying to gatekeep?
Me, nah. So, anyway, moving swiftly along. What's the next question, Megan?
Question two is: how do you think social media has shaped the way Gen Z views money and investing compared to older generations?
My mom is going to love my answer for this. Social media has put Gen Z into a now culture, and we expect everything now. That's what it's done.
Yeah.
So, mommy, after you heard that wonderful answer, you can send me more money this weekend, please.
Oh, I think that Gen Z, like, I think it's influenced more people into, like, crypto, right? I got a couple of friends. I got one specific friend, I'm not going to say his name. He got really into crypto, and he, like, lost, like, $4,000, and my jaw dropped when he told me that.
My jaw will drop too. But
yeah,
that sucks. Megan, do you have any friends who invest or nah? So all your friends just don't invest?
Well, I just don't know. I've never really asked. Yeah.
That's why we're having this podcast right now.
Yeah. I've never asked any of my friends about it.
So what this podcast is, we're basically going to help Megan and her friends get on their way to financial freedom. Because obviously, they don't do anything.
Well, I don't know.
Exactly. It's going to benefit you.
Yeah. But those are conversations Gen Z needs to have. So this is good. Yeah. This is very good.
Yeah. Megan and friends. All right. Next question.
The next question is, many Gen Zers feel priced out of traditional investments like real estate. Do you think that's changing how we define wealth? That's lovely.
Now, I always think real estate is going to be around.
True. Like,
I always think that.
But like, how many people like our age you see buying property though? Like, it's different now, bro.
You can't really judge us now because we're all kind of young.
No, there's more baby boomers than like Gen Z millennials buying houses. That's a weird fact, bro. That's a serious.
You with your facts again? It's been a while.
No, I'm just stating, bro. Okay. Continue what you were saying, bro.
Well, I'm just saying real estate is always gonna be around, and like if the internet is down, it's not like the land is gonna just disappear, you know.
True. That's true.
Unless some cyber attack happens. So I think real estate is gonna be around first.
Well, I feel like recently it's been really expensive, and like renting apartments has been really expensive. Buying a house has been really expensive. Like, it's not like what it was, like, say, 10, 20 years ago. Like, the apartment, for example, that you're going to get for $1,000 a month now, you're not going to get that. In fact, you're probably not going to get an apartment for that price anymore.
True. Like back in the heyday.
Damn, you're old. Holy shit.
All right, RJ, chill out, bro. Yeah, back in the day, I saw this this price list of like house and gas for everything.
Yeah,
it was like 47,000 US for like a 2-story house.
Yeah, you used to be able to get a house on a magazine and have it delivered, and just put it together.
And then like gas was like cents. Like burgers were like cents as well. Arjun needs some sense in his head as well. So
continue, bro.
But no, that's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, obviously the cost of living has gone up, you know what I mean? And I think, well, renting aside, Gen Z don't really got like the price range as they did like their parents or like their grandparents to get a house nowadays. That's why everybody's looking to rent. Because it's like, that's what they can afford or almost can't afford. compared to like before. So you kind of, their example of, I would say, investments is that, because that's what they can see in the foreseeable future. You know what I mean? So it's definitely changed. Well, not changed, but the idea of it has changed. You feel me?
Yeah.
Ty.
Ty what?
Ty. You don't look like you in agreement.
No, I agree.
You were like, yeah, like you had something else to say.
No, I didn't. I was reading something. All right.
Okay.
What are you reading?
He was reading his newest job.
A question. Yeah. So, guys, I need you to answer this question.
Okay, bro.
If my wallet's always empty, right?
Yes.
Does that mean I'm diversified? Actually, diversified. Forget this question.
What?
Forget that. I had a brain fart. Hold on.
Okay. You got you.
Let's run an ad.
Yeah. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Forever Radiant.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question is, if you were designing a Gen Z investment portfolio from scratch, what percentage would you put in stocks, crypto, real estate, and alternative assets?
Ooh.
I think Ty should answer this first.
My God, this is the Ty show, obviously.
Okay. Just ask this question more. I feel like you know like the answer to this.
Bro's a business major.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bro's business man.
It would be between stocks and real estate if I had the money. Obviously, I don't, so subscribe so we could get money. Okay. Please. But it would be between, most of it would be stocks and bonds and real estate.
No, but do like a percentage though, like 50%, 40%, 60%.
Yeah, okay, so 40%, okay, 20% stocks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
50% real estate.
Okay. 50% real estate. Yep.
And everything else, it'll be split in between those.
You're just going to throw whatever at whatever and see what says.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah.
What about yours?
Let me go.
Oh my God, Megan. What happened? You don't know your answer?
No.
I would Megan, say...
you disadvise a bad boy.
Yeah, I do. That's why we have a guest.
Let's say 40% stocks, 40% real estate, and then I'm gonna stay away from crypto, and then put like the 20% to like alternative assets. Yeah, you feel me? Yeah.
Why would you
stay away from crypto? Wonder what I did this weekend.
What happened?
I spent like 80% of my paycheck buying Bitcoin.
That's smart because that's like that's stable, right?
And it went up.
Nice.
I'm like she. I'm a businessman. You feel me, bro?
Yep. That's
business awesome. Doing business. All right.
Wait, is that why you had my friend drive you to Fort Lauderdale?
No. I just don't have a car.
Yeah. You couldn't Uber.
Nah, but like. Why would I just waste my money? That's why you and everyone else losing money. You're not saving where you could save.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Why would I Uber down to Fort Lauderdale and then Uber back?
That's you got like, your own personal chauffeur, bro. Like,
I wish.
That's crazy.
I wish. Man.
She's going to watch this and be like, that's insane.
Yeah.
I never said she was my chauffeur. You didn't. So,
but you didn't deny it. You didn't deny it, bro.
I said she's on my show. What do you mean? Rose
Def. Yep, whatever, bro.
Rose Def. It's okay. Yep.
She'll interpret it how she wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question is, should Gen Z prioritize funds and ETFs or explore higher risk assets like startups and digital currencies?
Honestly, I think Gen Z should like look have research about or like literally everything that you said, research about the startups and everything before they even think about investing, because a lot of people just put their money and like hope and pray, you know what I mean?
True.
Like a lot of people are TikTok investors.
Like, TikTok investors.
No, I swear to God. They'll see a stock on TikTok, mm-hmm. and like, ooh, this looks really, really good. I'm going to put my money on it. And then it goes down. No research. They're just trusting some guy who sells a course in their bio. Right? About their money. I'm like, dog, do your own research. Are you mad?
Yeah, I think it's just important to do your research before you dive into anything to do with money.
You want to go next, Megan?
What?
You want to go next?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
No. Since I said something and I was like, what?
Okay, yeah.
Answer the question, one of you. I answered
that. Yeah, I'm thinking, bro, like, digital currencies, they're like the most volatile. So, like, it's kind of like day trading, but like worse. I'm pretty sure those are like those, like the meme coin people who like just be, there's like a coin after everything, and it's just like, it's not safe at all.
Hey, man, you know what I mean? But it works sometimes.
Okay, well, yeah, you heard it from Ty. Financial advice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
None of this is financial advice. None of this should be taken literally.
That's definitely not my advice to invest in a meme coin.
Yeah, none of this is financial advice.
I'm just saying it has worked sometimes. I'm still waiting on Dogecoin to hit a dollar. That would be nice.
Okay. Yeah, let's move on from this question.
Okay. The next question is, how can someone in their 20s invest with a large starting capital? Are micro investing apps actually useful or just like hype?
Micro investing apps are well useful if you're like getting into it. So mm-hmm. like let's say you like choose an app like Robinhood or something, just put in like a couple every week or so to like a specific stock like S&P 500. I think that's like a good start, and it's definitely just solid because you're just putting in something in an organized fashion and be like, oh, I'll just put this in every now and then, you know what I mean? So
are there any apps that you use specifically?
Yeah, only like Robinhood.
Yeah.
What about you, Ty?
To add on to you, don't ever bite off more than you can chew. So always start off small and build your way up. So starting off with like little Robinhood stocks and everything is good. You know, you just can't jump to the big leagues because you're not that guy yet. You know, like
what's an example of the big leagues?
Like me, you're not on my level as yet. You know what I mean?
No, I said an example of the big leagues, like investing, bro. Not like you're bigger, bro.
Oh, like investing.
Yes. What else would I be talking about in the Gen Z investment portfolio look like question?
I was answering, but then you rudely cut me off and you lost my train of thought, RJ Powell. So I'm going to pass this question along to Megan now because she needs to put her input. You know, I hope you don't cut her off, RJ. All right.
Okay. I apologize.
All right.
Well, I've never used one of the apps, but from what you guys are saying, it just seems like a good place to start without like diving straight into the deep end on like how to invest and what to invest in. So I think like the apps could be helpful. So I'm gonna give it a try.
True. Like hypothetically, let's say you had like your salary. What percent of your salary would you do for like within a month towards investing if you were given the opportunity?
Megan, probably like 20%.
Well, I just don't know how much is a good amount like to invest. Like, what do I just do what I have or?
Well, what you're able to invest. Let's say you budget aside like a certain percentage. Okay. And like just to help further down the line, it'll eventually like come back to you in a bigger portion.
Okay, so let's just say like 30% for now.
Solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a smart, safe amount. What about you, Ty Mitchell, 912?
Hi, bro. How much I will invest my paycheck? Well, last week I invested 0% on my paycheck, but
well, you just said you put it into a Bitcoin, bro.
Okay, well, yeah, but like,
you're a fraud.
What?
Yeah, you good. Keep going.
Look who turned into a rage baiter today.
I'm not rage baiter. I'm just asking questions. Like, what do people talk about on a podcast?
The week before that,
yeah,
I spent 0%, and but since I kind of knew what I was doing, I put in most of my money, so like 65-70% of it. And then I spend the rest on tomfoolery because you make sure to have F around money. It's always good to do that.
This is not financial advice.
No, it is because
I guess your experience.
No, seriously, because imagine you put all your money into the stock market. How are you going to eat, bro? How are you going to go out? You know? So you always have to have mess around money, man. It's serious talk.
Yeah, but legally, this is not completely financial advice. Legally, yeah. Moving on.
Okay. So the next
parties are Jay, aren't you?
Okay, bro.
The next question is: how should Gen Z balance between short-term opportunities like flipping NFTs or side hustles and long-term investing goals?
I think it should be a 50-50 split between, because you do need money right now because you need to live and everything, but also you want to build up yourself for the future and not be, you know, in the same position as you are right now, like 30 years down the road. So it should be like a good split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that investing for your long-term goals are important, but also investing for what you need now. I think that's also important as well, because it's just, you never know what's going to happen.
Maybe. No, I'm just thinking, bro. I think a balanced way to do it, if you're just getting into it, is just like 15% to a short-term investment, 50% to a long-term investment. I think that's like, if you're in, get it, like, as an introduction, I think that's the best way to go about it. Or you can even do less. You know what I mean? It's all about just research. Don't take us too seriously there, but like, do your own research beforehand if you're doing anything bigger. You feel me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Megan, it is time. We reached that stage.
Oh, nope. It's him. Oh, he's arrived. Okay.
Nope. We have one more question.
You sure?
Yeah, after question 8.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Ooh, sorry.
My apologies bad. To the people.
Sorry, question.
Yeah, guys, you got to wait a couple more minutes.
Sorry, I was a bit excited.
Hey, a few more minutes. We're almost there. Okay, so the next question is, how important is ethical or sustainable investing to Gen Z? Is it something we truly act on, or is it just like a buzzword to get attention?
I think most of it, like for our generation, most people just say stuff, and it's more of a buzzword instead of actually doing it, you know.
What do you count as like ethical or sustainable investing?
The opposite of Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. You get that, though.
Oh my lord, bro. Oh yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Don't know what the thought process was that on that one, RJ.
What do you mean, bro? Like, okay. Like honest trading. Yeah.
Anyway,
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Megan.
Yeah.
Has anyone told you about our podcast? Have you heard any reviews or anything?
Yes, I have.
Let me hear it.
They like it. They like our energy. I've heard a lot of things about you.
I bet you have. Story of my life. Anyway, I was just chilling the last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got Snapchat on my phone.
Yep.
I looked at my phone as my boy, who I've been talking to in like 2 years, like since high school, right? It's him and his family watching my podcast on in the living room TV, and I see my big face taking up the entire screen. And then, bam, I was about to go to bed, and I woke right back up because, like, what the? I'm like, okay, thanks for the views, I guess, meaning the money.
Nice.
What about you, RJ?
For me, I would say just we're getting a lot more comments on Instagram now. It's quite nice. Like, the views are insane. We're getting a lot more comments, and I like it. It's cool, though. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, Megan. Mm-hmm. I think question 8 has gone by, right?
Yes, it has. So it is time to introduce our first guest ever. So it is a financial advisor named Julian Ponti. So during the last 30 years, Julian spent 10 years as a financial underwriter, followed by 20 years as a financial advisor, working with major firms such as UNUM, Merrill Lynch, E-Trade, Prudential, and Northwestern Mutual. He currently focuses on holistic and financial planning for professionals and business owners to help identify and realize their financial goals. So he's going to be our first guest ever on this podcast.
That's nice. Woo! Let's go. I'm so excited.
Hi.
Afternoon.
How are you all doing?
Hello, Mr. Bonson.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I didn't realize I was the first.
Yes, you are.
That's interesting. I've got a lifetime of being first.
That's cool.
We're just adding an old list.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was sitting listening to you all go back and forth. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I hope it's a good interesting.
Yes.
Interesting is always good.
Okay, right. That's good.
Fair enough.
Good to hear young people talking about money.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about spending money. So, that's always good.
Yeah. So, Mr. Ponti, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So we see people online just buying luxury things like boats and everything. Right? So how do you tell what's real financial growth versus just social media flexing? Because I personally know a lot of people who like to flex on social media and ask me for money.
Well, you know, I will begin by saying all that glitters is not gold.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, I mean, it's been proven. I'm sure you see some of the comments oftentimes on social media. You know, you can go and you can lease by the hour a nice mansion.
Yeah.
Create the pod that you've got it going on and popping. But in reality, you're going back and slipping, you know, in a cardboard box under a bridge. And you know, unfortunately, I mean, I'm not downing anyone for faking it until you make it. But when you start to fake it and then influence masses of people, then you can do some serious damage. You know, social media platform can be great for, you know, disseminating good information, but it's a lot of mixture of good and bad and half truth. So it's really impossible to truly distinguish between real growth and social media growth. Unless you live with that person, how do you know? So there are some very good productions out there that are people just faking the heck out of everything. So you have to be wary of messaging that is centered around consumption. That's the first giveaway. If it's about look at me and flash and glitter and consumption, that should raise a flag or two. And, you know, I heard one of you earlier say research, do your research. You have to research proven means of, you know, creating wealth.
I wonder who said that.
We all said that, bro.
Yeah. And you want to network with organizations that provide resources, you know, and training, organizations like SBA or Realty Associations or any association that has a long history and it's got professionals and potential mentors in there that can help the Gen Z, because I know this broadcast is focused on Gen Z. So get around people who've done it, and you'd be surprised the number of people that are out there who are willing to help. And there's something called the silver tsunami that's coming.
What's that?
That's where a lot of business owners that are baby boomers are going to sell their businesses. And who better than to you all? But you have to build up, put yourself in a position of strength and knowledge so that you can be ready to deal and mingle with those people. You may even find a mentor or two that's just waiting for someone in the Gen Z arena to rub elbows with and pass some things on to.
I have a follow-up question. You spoke about mentors. What's the best way for us to find a mentor?
I don't know if there's a best way to find a mentor, because there's different kinds of mentors. Some are financial mentors, life mentors, business mentors. But one, I guess, connecting thread would be identify what you're looking, what area you're looking for. And then you join organizations or affiliate with organizations in that arena. And then within that, go to meetings, interact, engage, and build relationships. Now, it's networking. A lot of people throw out the word networking. But when I was when I worked at Merrill Lynch years ago, my regional director told me one thing that stuck with me. This was over 20 years ago. He said, "Julian, networking is only one letter away from not working." So just because you go to an event and you hand out some cards, that's not networking.
Yeah.
That is not networking. But a lot of people think that they've accomplished something and they haven't. You got to build relationships and put yourself in a position while you're there to key in on somebody who you can follow up with afterwards in a casual conversation. And it takes time because it's all about relationships. I didn't know that when I was your age. Life, everything, all the stuff you're talking is relationships and the ability to create and nurture and build long-term relationships. Sometimes the relationships are short-term. You know, sometimes people are only in your life for a minute and they're gone. But if you're identifying something you want to do, you want to find a lifelong mentor. See, I'm a mentor, but I also have mentors. Even at this age, I still have mentors. So I'm in an organization called the 100 Black Men. And we have a theme, it's called mentoring across generations. And so you have that theme that runs very deep in our organization, to where I might be a mentor to people your age or younger or in the 30s. But I've got guys like, you know, one of my best friends, one of my best clients is a guy that invented Sun Chips potato chips. He's been a wealth of value to me over the years since I met him. And he's not my official mentor. We built a relationship based on some things that we were doing together in the community.
Wow.
That was a long-winded answer, but I hope it was thorough.
That was awesome.
Trust me, it is.
Wow. Yep. That was beautiful.
So another question that we have for you is that a lot of us, like me, for example, feel behind when it comes to money. So like if you're in your 20s and trying to get it together, what's the first move that actually matters, like beyond just making a budget?
Well, there's this saying that says don't waste your 20s. And it's very true. But the thing about it is, what you want to do is determine your immediate and long-term goals. First and foremost, you've got to have a destination in mind. And then you want to assess your financial situation. What that means is, you know, look at your debts, your assets, your cash flow, your credit score. But a lot of times when it comes to this kind of stuff, they don't put enough focus on cash flow management. Everybody's got their own personal cash flow cycles. You've got to not just budget, But you've got to actually identify the goals. And then once you do that, build a budget around those goals. It does not make sense to build a budget that your cash flow does not have the capacity to support. Mm-hmm. That's a fool's dream. That's fool's goals, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, and here's the number one thing, most important. Do not measure your success based on the apparent success of others. Because you have no idea what's really going on behind the closed doors of that house. I mean, you've got people that are driving great cars, living in nice houses, and have all of the apparent, outwardly material things that go along with that. But you do know, I'm not going to ask. There was a report that came out a few months ago that said that there's a large number of people in America who earn $250,000 or more a year, and they're living check to check.
Wow.
That's because we are built, everything about our economy, from the time you're at the age where you start to learn language, you are programmed, and I was programmed, to be a consumer. Hmm. Everything's about consumption. Even when they gave out the COVID checks, they labeled it as we're helping families. No, the purpose of the COVID checks was to keep the wheels turning, the economy turning, keep people spending, because the American lifestyle, the American economy is built off of consumption, period. And without that consumption, like for instance, when you hear about market indicators and the market's doing this, market's doing that, all of the indicators are dealing with consumption. As far as the measuring the strength of the economy, it's not deal that you don't hear any stats on savings. It's consumption.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
The key, you've gotta separate yourself. Ferris will look from the outside in instead of being inside. Remove yourself from the system, and when you see that, a lot of things will be illuminated. You have to really understand and develop a relationship with money. Behavioral finance is key. And that's the way you break the cycle of the programming that you don't even know you've had. You know, like for instance, I give you something that's closer to you guys as far as you look a little too old to be playing Roblox, but you may, I don't know. But the thing about it, here's the analogy. These kids that are hooked on Roblox, if you take that Roblox away, they go berserk. They go literally berserk because they've been programmed, and the responses and the dopamine and all that kind of stuff has got them hooked. Now, once you get a little bit older, you're a programmed consumer. All you know how to do is spend money. The first dollar you make, you're figuring out how to spend it instead of having to double it. It's that program. When I say get off the Ferris wheel, you've got to be able to remove yourself. And the way you do that is you've got to educate yourself on this system and learn the tax laws, because the tax laws to favor businessmen. You got all kinds of tax breaks, tax incentives. Learn how to utilize what's been given instead of being a consumer.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, my dad's gonna thank you for this.
Yeah, mine too.
I also have some questions for you. How would you redesign what we're taught about money? What would you make mandatory for Gen Z, like in a financial sense? And what's something you wish you learned earlier that you could tell us now?
Yeah, I could write a book on this one, but the first thing, listen, my initial gut instinct is to say make mandatory financial literacy starting in ninth grade on up. But I'm going to amend that, put a caveat on it. Rather than financial literacy, which is fine, I am more of a proponent of financial acumen. Literacy is just knowing definitions. Acumen is knowing what to do with what you have. See, a lot of people make money. A lot of people make money, they don't have a clue what to do with it. Hence, going back to what I was talking about, consumption, consumerism. I know when I was in college and even after college, I could have a $100 bill in my pocket on Monday, and by Friday, it's gone, and I don't know where it went. It just evaporated. I don't have anything to show for it, but it's gone. And so financial acumen is becoming a student of what to do with the resources that I have at hand. Whether you're a janitor or whether you're a CEO, you have to have the acumen. True story. I won't name the company, but I worked for a company back in the 90s. The CFO of the company went to Circuit City to apply for a credit card and was turned down. He made $800,000 a year.
Why? Jeez.
Why would he get turned down?
Too much going out, not enough coming in.
Oh,
biting off too much.
Yeah, two ex-wives, children, alimony, private schools, nice house, lifestyle, all the trappings of success.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter if you make $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month. If you're spending a dollar more than what you're bringing in, you still have negative cash flow. So that... what else would I change? Well, I would bring back home economics. You all may not even know what I'm talking about, but back in the old days, they taught, it was called home economics in school.
Yeah.
And it taught basic budgeting, cash flow management, how to run your household. And this was geared for people who weren't even going to college. How to run your household. Your household is a business. You need to know how to run a business. Your household, your finances. If you're married, I tell my clients all the time, I'll say on the 15th of the month, you and your spouse should have a date. Can't opt out of it. You have this date. And what you do on this date, you go over the financial situation of the business for this month. Are we running under budget or are we running over budget? If we're under, hey, great, keep it moving. If we're running over, you got two more weeks left in the month to make whatever changes you need to make sure that you come as close to budget as possible without running over. If you can't, every now and then you're going to run over, but that's just basic management of your household, which is your business. You know, the one other thing is, I already talked about, you know, applying the tax codes. But one of the things I wish that I learned younger, how to use leverage. Leverage is your best friend. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say leverage?
Like your credit score? Like,
no. I'm going to give you three examples.
Okay.
When you purchase real estate, you leverage. You use a small amount of money to acquire a multiple valued asset, meaning say if it's a rental property, you may drop $20,000 or $30,000 down on a $300,000 piece of property that's an asset. That's leverage. You're taking a small amount to get something larger that is also going to produce growth and income for you. That's leverage. Knowing how to do that at a young age is priceless, because once you acquire it, you own it and you get the equity, but you don't have to pony up the full amount. You get all of the benefits, all of the, in the case of real estate, you get all of the tax benefits. Like, one of the most powerful benefits of being in real estate is depreciation. You get to write it off. That's the tax management marvel. Depreciation. But I'll give you another one. Let's just say that over a period of time, you start to invest money in a brokerage account, taxable brokerage account. And over a period of time, you got X number of dollars. Well, the value anyway is at a certain level. You can do what's called margin. You can put that account on margin, which allows you to borrow against it. So let's just say you got, over a period of time, you put away some money, you invested, and you've got $30,000 in there. Let's say you want to buy a car. Well, you can go to the bank and get a loan on the car. Do that. You can save up money and just drain the swamp and pay cash for the car. You can do that. You could also borrow against the values of your stocks and bonds that are in your brokerage account, pay that back as you like, and then over a period of time, once that car is paid for, because you're going to stroke a check for the car because you just became your own bank.
Yeah.
But then you can stroke a check, pay yourself back 4 or 5 years later. The value of that investment account is much higher than what it was when you started, and you've got a vehicle that's paid for. Then you can rinse and repeat throughout your life. You can just keep rinsing and repeating. The third way that you can use margin or leverage is through a cash value life insurance policy. You hear people always, you know, some of the information you see on social media, it's just a pinch of it is true, but most of it is wrong. And, you know, it's got people thinking that they're going to just be able to do this overnight. But you can do the same thing inside of a life insurance policy that grows cash value, and you can collateralize that cash value you're doing your lifetime. And if you die, guess what? Your beneficiary gets a tax-free lump sum of money. So utilizing all three of those at the same time, or having a strategy towards it, when you get to your 40s, you're a very financially powerful entity if you can properly learn how to utilize all three of those. And they all have their advantages and disadvantages. You should never make the mistake of comparing the three against each other. They're built differently. They all three have pros and cons, but comparing them to each other is apples and oranges. You don't want to do that. They all have different strengths, like the depreciation I mentioned. Well, that's a benefit of having real estate, but your life insurance and your stock portfolio doesn't have depreciation, but they have liquidity. Real estate is not liquid. I mean, I'm not going to go into too much of it, but there's the mistake I see people making is that they compare them as if they're equals, and they're not. They're not even in the same plane. But they all are very beneficial. And then I've talked about the tax benefits of owning a business, and also strategies to create and protect generational wealth. Generational wealth is another buzzword that everybody's out there throwing around, but what is generational wealth?
Oh,
wealth being for generations.
Okay. Being able to hand down money to your predecessors, like your children, grandchildren.
You know, money, but it's beyond money. Assets. See, money gets consumed. Assets can be consumed. But what you want to do during your lifetime as much as possible, I encourage you all, create or acquire assets that grow. You've got depreciating and appreciating assets. Going back to that consumer problem I talked about, a lot of people consume depreciating assets. You know, if you got this nice whip that you just paid $60,000 or $80,000 for, well, you drive it around the block a couple of times, now it's already worth less, right?
Yeah.
You might turn a few heads, but after about 3 or 4 months, less heads start to turn. But guess what still turns? That revolving account where those payments are coming out to pay for that car. That continues. When the new smell is gone, that same payment is still there, smelling not so new. It's so true. The key is to acquire assets that can acquire other assets. That's the key. It's like watching grass grow. It's very boring, very methodical. But if you do it and you do it the right way, that's how you acquire wealth that can be left generationally. Then you leave it inside of the right vehicles so you can pass it with tax efficiency. Because one of the things that you guys got to be aware of, taxes are going up no matter who's in the White House.
Yeah.
It's going up. It's just a matter of when and who. So there are strategies around, listen, you can either build and acquire generational wealth, or you can buy generational wealth too. But you got to know how to buy it and how to leave it. All that.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That was very informational.
Yeah.
And you taught me a bunch of stuff that I wasn't that aware of before.
Yeah, I didn't know any of what you said before this, and I'm really grateful. I'm really thankful now that I know all of it. So thank you a lot for that.
No problem. I mean, my goal was to get you to think a little bit. I know we don't have enough time to go into a lot of detail, but if you just remember some of those things I told you, and also, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you all know what a TOD is?
Sorry?
TOD, you know what that is? Do you all have checking or savings accounts in your names only?
Yes.
Okay. Not in my name. No.
You don't have any in your name?
No.
I believe, or it's shared.
Yeah, or is it in mine? Shared. I'm sorry, what did you say, Ty?
Mine shared.
It's shared, okay.
Yeah.
So, good. If you have, and this is something for you to share with your circle. When you have checking and savings accounts that are in your name only, if you don't have a beneficiary or a TOD listed, if you die, it goes into probate. And that money's locked up for a pretty good period of time. I've seen bad situations where a husband or wife couldn't get to the money. They need to pay bills. They needed stuff to happen. All you do is go into your bank and say, I want to sign a TOD. So anybody you put on that TOD, that stands for transfer on death. Anyone that you place on there, if they come in there with a death certificate, they have immediate access to your assets. Otherwise, probate is going to take a while, and it can get pretty precarious. So either name a beneficiary or do a TOD.
Okay.
And ask your bank why they didn't tell you that in the first place.
Because they want the money for themselves.
Bam! There you go.
Oh, how often do you talk to like Gen Z, like people our age, about this type of stuff?
Yeah.
Well, what's your age? I can't tell by looking.
Well, I'm 21, and that guy's 40 over there. All
right, bro.
We're 21.
You're 21. I don't really talk as much as I used to. See, with the 100 Black Men program, I used to coach a financial literacy team. They would compete nationally, and they won. I won three championships with over the period. It's three different championships, but those were like, you know, teenagers. You are grown, able to get arrested and make money and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a totally different ball game. The thing is, what I find with the Gen Zers. Either you're, when it comes to financial literacy and financial conversations, either you're all in or you're all out. I haven't found very many that are in between. But the ones that are curious, y'all have a lot of energy. The ones that aren't, you know, they just don't want to hear it. So if I'm invited to talk, I'll talk. But most of the people I talk to are a little older. I'm talking to your parents, you know. But I tell you, it would be a great thing to have. One of the things I have been getting into more lately, I talk to families at a time. Like the generations within the family have a conversation. A lot of times we'll schedule these around the holidays of Thanksgiving because family's together. And, you know, in between a football game or two, we'll do a Zoom. And we have all multi-levels of that generational right there in a Zoom talking about money. Because in certain communities, it's sort of like taboo to talk about money. It's sort of difficult. Like I use this example. It's a true example. You know, most African Americans anyway, if you are as a kid, say you're 14, 15, 16 years old, you sit down with mom and dad. Hey, mom, dad, how much money do y'all make a year? You know what do you think the answer is?
Not they'll just slap you or something. A little top on the head.
They say, why are you asking? You're not paying any bills.
Yeah.
We're very guarded about money. Unfortunately, even in some families that are doing very well, the kids aren't groomed to take over the business. They're just, we're afraid to talk about money. Now, when it comes to death, let's just be real. Unless you get caught in the rapture, everybody's going to die. So once you get past that and you get comfortable with it, sometimes it makes it easier to have the conversation. If I want to pass the baton to the next generation so that you all can have a clean handoff and run faster around the lap that you got to run, we got to have these conversations. And it's a beautiful thing when you see a grandfather, a son, and a grandson in one room talking about generational wealth. Because the generations are right there in front of each other. And that old guy with the gray hair gets so much satisfaction when he comes up with solutions, knowing that the little guy coming up is going to be okay financially, and it is within his hands to turn that guy into a beast. I mean, a financial beast. There's a book that I would highly recommend you guys to read. It's called What Would the Rockefellers Do?
What will the Rockefellers... I'm writing this down.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Now, are you familiar with the name Rockefeller?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with the name Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What do they have in common?
Wealth.
Oil. What do you say, Ty? What do they have in common?
Generational wealth.
Okay. They ain't got nothing in common. Here's why. The Rockefellers are filthy rich still, and the Vanderbilt money dried up in the 70s. Gloria Vanderbilt died in 2018. That's Anderson Cooper's mother. Now, when she was a little girl, she was the richest little girl in the world. But by the 70s, the money was gone. Whereas the Rockefeller money still churning and burning, and they're filthy rich. The funny thing is, Commodore Vanderbilt and John D. Rockefeller, they lived around the same time, and the Vanderbilts actually had more money than the Rockefellers. Mm-hmm. See, most of the filthy rich people, the money only lasts a couple of generations and it's gone. Rockefeller did one thing different than Vanderbilt. Now, do you all have any kids?
No.
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 Okay. So if you did have kids, let's say if you had three little crumb snatchers.
Yep.
And normally, you know, most people, they love equally, the parents do. And usually they will leave each child an equal amount. If they have something to leave, unless it's a wayward child, don't they normally just leave them equal amounts of whatever they got to, to have?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Vanderbilts did, and that's why they broke. Oh. John Rockefeller didn't leave his kids a dime. He did not leave them one dime. He put it all in the Rockefeller Family Trust. He said, keep the money together. Because when you leave equally to each generation, it gets diluted each generation. Mm-hmm. Right? But he had it all in a big old ball in the Rockefeller Family Trust. But here's the caveat. The Rockefeller Family Trust takes out life insurance on every Rockefeller born. The trust pays for it. So whenever they breathe their last breath, money comes back in. So I show my clients how to create a semblance of the Rockefeller Trust. It may not have billions of dollars in it, but within a generation and a half, the way I show them how to do it, they'll have seven figures that will never be exhausted. Hmm. That's generational wealth, because generational wealth gives you options, gives your offspring choices. Mm-hmm. Do I work for myself? Do I work for someone else? One of the biggest deterrents for building business in America is lack of capital, lack of access to capital. You can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps if you don't have bootstraps. Hmm. You can't go and get this loan from the bank if you don't have collateral or access to capital. But by creating the trust that I'm talking about, it can give more people the opportunity in the future to have choices of what they want to do with their life what would you all be doing with your lives if you didn't have to worry about money?
Ooh, a lot more time to do like the stuff you really like play sports or anything like that, I'd say.
I'd be on a beach.
It'd be different for everybody, but mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big Star Trek fan from way, way back, all the way to the and there was an episode of, I think it was Star Trek Next Generation or something, but a guy who traveled from the 90s up into the future, and he didn't know, because he's a hustler, it was hard for him to acclimate to life during that time, Stardate, whatever, because everything was provided for you. So his question was, if you don't have anything you don't get to strive for, what's the challenge? And the answer was, make yourself better. Strive to be better. If you could not have to worry about paying the bills, this, that, and the other, where it's going to come from, you could focus on the things that are not materialistic in nature, because you've got the materials. That's what my goal would be for you three to be able to accomplish for your seed one day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you joining us on the podcast, and it's been very, very insightful personally. I've really enjoyed everything that you've had to say.
I think everybody watching learned at least something. That was
yeah.
Awesome.
It's very, very
minds.
I know. This is like a perfect lecture, like a college lecture. It was awesome. Yeah, I feel like an enjoyable one too.
So this is live?
No.
I would have to watch what I said. But yeah, I mean, I love, one of the things about being an advisor, I actually, you know, one of the questions was how often do I talk to Gen Z? Not often enough. Because, see, there's some stuff coming down the pipeline that you all are going to be able to take advantage of. Not just AI. AI is just the beginning. I've seen some stuff. There is some stuff coming down the pipeline that you all are going to be able to take advantage of from a financial investment standpoint. My goodness. I'm envious of your youth. There's some stuff coming. Okay. That's an entire new communication system being built. That is, you know, 5G is nothing. They're going to be mining asteroids, all this stuff. That's why they're sending up these robots. But I know time is short. I can't go off on another tangent. I'm just telling you some things are coming. Be ready.
Okay. That's a good last message to end on, Mr. Ponzi. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate you, man. I learned so much. We all did.
Yeah, especially me.
No problem. Hey, guys, I'm sure that they gave you my contact information. So if you want to reach out, I'd be happy to talk to you about some stuff.
Thank you. And
kudos to you for doing what you're doing. I love the fact that this is for Gen Z. I hope that you really blow up. This is some good stuff that you guys need to, you know, you need to keep at it. And I wish you all the luck in the world with this.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate that.
You'll be hearing from me.
Me too.
Oh yeah.
How does he compare to like your professor style?
Yeah,
like
this is 10 times better.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That was hate.
I felt like I was just actually engaged the whole time.
Honestly, bro, I might just drop out right now. Honestly.
Okay. So before we,
we got one more ad, don't we?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by 124 Nut Out Sports Agency. Welcome to the next level.
Oh man, I feel like just stuffed with knowledge right now.
Yeah, so let's see what we learned. We can use any of it to answer the last few questions that we have.
Yeah. Oh, look at you using your brain.
Tommy,
yo, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Oh my god. Continue. What's the question?
Next question is, do you think Gen Z's social values like climate action and diversity should influence what we invest in?
Help.
Okay.
Right? I know someone built that up, bro.
Yeah, because it's especially like the climate, it's our future. Like the whole point of investing is to invest for your future. help you in the future? If you're not like investing in the earth, what are you doing?
All of a sudden, see, after Megan got that talk, she look at her answering all the questions and everything. Now she wants to answer the question. Okay, RG,
I think like honestly, I think it should influence like the different stocks you want to trade on. Like if like a vendor, like any like type of like an event or like a climate change just changes, I think like a business will be affected. Like a certain business that's towards like, let's say a business that works in weather, so to say, like weather detection and stuff like that, you would invest in stocks and stuff like that, like ahead of time. You're like, oh, that's happening. I should probably invest in that before it comes to try and get ahead of time. Because once you hear about stocks, like around the time you hear about stocks, it's probably too late, like on social media and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So use those type of indicators to influence like your investments, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have this thing that I saw, right?
Yeah.
They look at different climates around the world and what's going on. And then they invest in the companies that are benefiting from those certain climates. I'm not saying what.
Okay.
Because I can't.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what, just look. Even though it might not, just look at it.
Yeah. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Hate the game. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Nice.
So the next question is, why do you think Gen Z is both more risk tolerant and more anxious about money than any other generation before?
Well, I'm not.
You're not anxious about money?
No, I'm not anxious. Money will come and go. If you get too attached to money, that's gonna be a long pull, because then you'll be like a cheapskate and not live life, man. But yes, I'm not saying blow your money. I'm not saying blow your money out. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, don't be afraid to spend money if it's gonna help you gain money. Like Mr. Ponzi said. Mm-hmm. Well, had a whole talk.
That's a nice TED Talk.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Gen Z is like anxious because things just are more expensive now. Like cost more, cost of living's higher. The average hourly salary is not like living wage
anymore. Yeah, taking out girls like tripled the price. Like the price has gone up 3x.
Bro, they're not listening, bro.
You actually cannot take a girl out in this.
Oh my god!
I swear to God, I'm not even trying to joke around right now. You just can't. Imagine spending. Okay, let's say you spend $20 on a meal. That's kind of a lot for a meal, right? Some premium food, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you gotta times that by two. $40 plus tax.
$45. And tip. Don't forget tip.
For like bro, you spent $50 right in. $50, just like that. On a meal of two. Bro, madness.
Oh,
here's my financial tip. Don't get a girl right now. don't get a girl right now.
Oh my goodness. That's solid, bro. I think that people are kind of just holding on to their pockets because, like, it's this day and age, bro. Like Megan said, the cost of living, bro, it's rising a little bit. And you're thinking about the future, like, oh, am I going to have enough, like, down the road? You know what I mean? So you're, like, hesitant to, like, reach into your pocket too deep on, like, for a necessity or, like, a rainy day. So it kind of gets in people's head.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's what's making a lot of Gen Zers hesitant, even if they have a job or don't. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So the next question is, how can we overcome the get rich quick culture when building real wealth? It takes patience and consistency. I just think I think it's just knowing that you're not gonna get rich overnight, and you have to work for it, you have to be consistent. The money's just not gonna appear in your bank account.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's not just going to appear. You need to do something for it. So, you know, I think that's how.
As Mr. Ponzi said, don't look at others because they're on different levels as you.
Mm-hmm.
So just work on you and you'll be good. Don't stop focusing on anyone else. A lot of people like to focus on me, but do I focus on them? Nah. Like Megan's whole family, if you hear them, they already have a lot of things about me. Focus on yourself, G. The one like like a man. Like a big man.
Oh gosh. I'd say the first step is to not value people talking about finances on social media that much. Cause like, you're like, oh, I could get it just like that. Cause your dopamines are running. You're looking at like, be like, oh yeah, that's easy money. I could definitely do that. You know what I mean? On my time, even though it's not your time. It's God's time, man. Just, you gotta work towards it, man. It's not gonna come instantly, bro. Like a lot of people on social media make it seem that way, but
yeah,
it'll be based on your hard work. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We have two questions left.
Okay.
Yeah. Two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Only this episode real short though.
Yeah, man. That's.
Sure. Okay. So next question is. With new technology like AI and crypto changing how we invest, what kinds of investments do you think Gen Z will be putting their money into by 2035?
Ooh.
I don't know, AI companies.
Yeah.
I think so too. Just like how fast it's going and how like rapid it's changing.
Bro, I don't know why. Like, I've spent so much knowledge this episode. I realized I don't do like 45% of the things that I've said.
That's like, so real.
Bro, I'm like, what, bro? I'm going to buy that book after.
It's like you unlocked a different part of your brain.
Yeah, like my frontal lobe is now developing, I swear.
Yeah. So, oh, gosh.
So, yeah, it'd be, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm going to invest in AI.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And whatever company is going to start mining on asteroids.
That's pretty. I feel like that's way farther than 2035, though. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, man. Hey, you want to know what's crazy?
What?
There's been a. Hold on. Let me gather my.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yep. The frontal lobe. Ha!
there's been like. A bigger jump in progress between, like, don't quote me on this, but I saw this thing. I can't get the timestamps right.
Okay.
Between when, like, people first landed on the moon and, like, until now, you know what I mean? Like, in between, there's been bigger gaps. The gaps have been bigger and bigger in innovation.
Okay. Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you get what I mean, right? I just don't know how to formulate it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I honestly, I think it's going to be, like, closer our time that it's going to be closer than we think it is.
Okay, it's not crazy to say. Yeah, they're sending stuff to Mars, so you know.
Exactly, bro. Like Elon Musk, he has rockets landing by themselves now, bro.
That's pretty cool.
Before he did that in like 2 days, I swear to God.
That's futuristic, bro.
I'm just saying, is the jump gets bigger and bigger each time, so you never know.
True. Okay. I think me personally, like I know everybody's talking about AI and stuff. Okay.
I have COVID.
I know we're talking about AI stocks and like that, but like I've been seeing like some robots, like people inventing like robots to like do stuff around the house and stuff like that. Like, do you think those stocks would be going up around them?
Yeah, my mom uses Roomba, so yeah.
Besides Roomba, I'm talking about like robots, that looks like a person.
Oh, that's like weird. Rizbot. You know who Rizbot is?
Who is Rizbot, dog?
Oh my god, this is a robot that literally walks around the streets of LA. Has on dunks, has a hat on and a chain.
You just ripped out.
Yeah, swear to God, it's like a robot that's like 5'1", right? And there's a guy remote controlling it remotely.
Yeah.
And he just loaded it up with memes. so he's just walking around and playing it to people and like making farting noises, and it's hilarious, bro.
That's an excellent use of a robot. Yep.
Honestly.
Yeah, I put stocks in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's move on, bro. What's the next one?
The last question is, if you had to give one piece of advice to your 18-year-old about investing, what would it be?
Wait, Loki, say that question again. I was zoned out.
If you had to give one piece of advice to your 18-year-old self about investing, what would it be?
Nah, I would have, not 18, my 5-year-old self, I would have told myself to buy Bitcoin at 5 years old.
Yeah, like probably give myself like a heads up about like stocks, like AI stocks ahead of time. That'd be so crazy.
Yeah, I just.
Bro, here's the thing.
Start investing because I didn't do it.
I want to know what I realized. A lot of the things we kind of predict the years before, but we just don't take action on anything.
Like, give us an example.
Like the robots and everything, AI, like you know, they made movies about it so long before us.
But they didn't think it would advance that quick, though. Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
No, but I know, but they predicted it, and we just. Next futuristic movie I see, I mean, that's I'm gonna find a company that's doing it.
Okay, yep. Doesn't that count as an early startup then?
Look at you. Look at you on the ball tonight.
Okay, yep.
Okay, well, that was the last question, so.
We're wrapping up?
Yeah, I do.
Damn, okay. We had a pretty phenomenal interview. I think that was about like most information I got out of this podcast ever.
Bro, back in the day, that was so hostile. Like, oh yeah, it was.
Actual educational information.
Are you saying that I'm not a scholar?
No.
Are you saying RJ and I are not no scholars?
No, she's talking about you. Okay, well, we gained a lot of information. We would like to once again thank Mr. Ponce for coming out. That was I believe you all gained a lot of information from that. We appreciate y'all for coming out. Remember to like and subscribe, check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Apple Music, all the Instagram. We appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Yes,
thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Peace.
ZViews podcast was created by Basha Alicia Powell. Executive producer Basha Alicia Powell. Producer Alana Avis and Delicia Winnell. Creative designs Basha TV Productions LLC and RJ Powell. Legal consultant Alicia Beza. Music or rights reserved to Basha Alicia Powell and Ricardo Powell. Editors Basha Powell and RJ Powell. Graphics and design, Basha TV Productions, LLC, and RJ Powell. Music or rights reserved to Basha TV Productions, LLC. Content contributors, Megan Curry, RJ Powell, and Ty Mitchell. Hosted by Megan Curry, RJ Powell, and Ty Mitchell. Thank you for watching.